calling this teaching today, Are We Learning in How We Ask? Are we learning in how we ask? God is teaching us to ask for the right things. And very often, we don't learn straight away in asking God for the right things. God has to work with us. He's all the while opening our eyes to who He is, His holy presence. He is all the while teaching us from His word, all of which to ask of Him. But what we don't always learn is that in the delays, or even where we ask and nothing happens, what He's actually doing and working within us is a desperation. He's watching to see if we really do mean business with Him, and that we're not just asking flippantly or casually or something that's just come to mind. No, when we ask of God, many, many times in our asking of God, it changes us. It may change the course of destination that we're on. It may be where God will answer our prayers, that it will alter our situation. You see, all our asking is for one purpose, to glorify His name. He first gets the glory. And that is why He has often to make us desperate, because people who are desperate do desperate things out of the ordinary. They come to a place where they're not really bothered about what it looks like or what other people think. That is what desperation does. And He does this in the light of asking. You see, most of the time we ask out of our own lusts, our own flesh, our own pride. We ask out of selfish means. But we have to learn in our asking that we are communicating with our Father's heart, a heart of love, compassion, and mercy. Our asking isn't about me, what I want, my own lusts, asking out of my own pride, selfishness. God has to root that out of us. And this is why it takes time in praying the prayer of faith, asking according to His word, because God has to do a deliverance. The same as He's going to do a deliverance today, to remove some of those obstacles so that we can ask according to His will. And that is why I want us to turn to Luke chapter 11, and I want us to look from verses 5 through to 13. You've probably read this many times in your quiet times, but I believe the Holy Spirit is going to highlight, He's going to open your eyes and ears and heart to more what lies behind this, because this is one of the main principles that we must learn in which to ask of God, whatever it is, whatever the need, whatever we are facing. Here is a principle here. And so we'll take this up from verse 5 of Luke 11. And He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and go to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." So let's just stop there. Jesus, first of all, gives a story. It's a parable. It's not actually something that has happened, but Jesus is giving a story here of the sort of thing that we can encounter, that can happen to us. We could well find that we are tucked up in bed, nice and warm, and the doorbell rings, and a friend of yours is there at the door. They're wanting to borrow something because people have turned up unexpectedly. They're in a situation where they can't just go to the shops. They're all shut. They haven't got what is required to help feed these people that have turned up. So they come to a friend, somebody they know well, and they knock. And they hear a voice, "I'm in bed now. I'm with the family. The children are all tucked up, asleep." Yes, they've heard what has been said, but because they know their friend, they are good friends, they know their heart, they know what they will really do, they continue to knock and knock until the friend gets up. Why did they persist in knocking? Because they know their friend and they know what they will do. Are you getting the picture? And so the friend in verse 8 gets up. Now, have you ever knocked on a door? Of course you have. We all have. Today now we have technology. We have doorbells, or we have CCT cameras, or all this sort of thing. But you knock on a door, and then when... after a minute, there's no answer. You knock again. And this time, you knock a bit louder and firmer. No answer. And again, you knock even more and even louder. Why are you doing this? Because you know the person is inside. Now, maybe they haven't heard, or maybe they could be in the bathroom, or they've just popped out into the garden, but you know the person is there. And so what do? You continue to keep knocking, and you get louder. There is the desperation. You are meaning business. Now Jesus, he takes what he's done with that story and he takes this now to a higher level. And here is the revelation to the word. Verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." So he immediately saying here, to ask, don't stop, ask, it will be given to you, seek, you will find. How do we seek? We're seeking God, we're seeking his word, we're waiting on him, we're coming to the meetings, we're listening to a word just like this today. This is all part of seeking. He says, "For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks finds, And to him who knocks, it will be open. So there we are. We are asking, we are seeking, we are getting the conditions, we're listening to how God is speaking to us in order to receive. And he says, now you're going to have to knock. And we keep knocking, and we keep knocking, and we keep coming, and we keep listening, and we keep asking, because we're not going to give up. He that endures to the end will be saved. It is a persistent faith that will not be denied. The same with the persistent woman. The same with the woman with the issue of blood. There were all people around Jesus. She should not have come out. She was unclean under the law. But she was persistent and kept pushing until she touched the hem of his garment. And immediately she was made whole. This is what God does with us, because he knows our nature. He knows that we so easily want to feed our own lusts, our own flesh. And that's why he's bringing a remnant now who will start to walk in Romans 8 in the spirit and not in the flesh. And here it is. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? In other words, a substitute. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? So God is revealing here, you have to be specific. You have to speak that what you want. You can't keep changing your mind. He's getting you to settle it on what you ask. That is very important. And so, here he's saying that what you ask according to his will, God will give it. So when you have asked and it's not yet manifested, don't change your mind. Settle it. That is what you've asked. That is the request. That is what you said before your Heavenly Father. And thank him that it's on its way. Mark 11:24. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you have received. It isn't visibly manifested yet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You want the evidence? Here it is, the word of God, the promises of God. He says that by his stripes we are healed. There's the evidence. There's the promise. And when we believe, the substance is there. That substance that makes it reality. And when it's visible, it appears, you no longer are in faith anymore for it. You've got it. This is how it works, brothers and sisters. And this is why the devil attacks your mind, robbing you, putting those doubts and unbelief in your mind. And so we come back here. So he says, when you ask, God isn't going to give you a substitute. And you believe that, hold on to that. So many Christians are willing to take substitutes and they've never yet learned who their Father is. He's God, he's sovereign, doesn't make a mistake. He heard what you have brought before him. Wait until it's manifested to glorify his name and to bless you and others. So don't think you are going to receive a substitute. And he goes on in verse 12. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion that can sting and do harm? No, he doesn't. God hasn't sent that sickness to punish you. Not at all. That is not the Father's heart. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you, as parents with children, you have desired with all your heart to give them the best, what they ask. That is what love does. That's what parents do. How much more with our Heavenly Father? And he says he will give the Holy Spirit. Now that is interesting. Why does he say that? I will give the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who comes to enact and work this parable and what Jesus has said in your asking. He is the one who is going to come to make this possible. Isn't it wonderful? How encouraging in our asking. I will come back. I will teach you. I will guide you. I will lead you in my word. I will bless you. I will give to you through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I will hear your prayers, your requests. And yet we don't believe. We doubt. Why? Because we've not yet still learned our Father's heart. And that is why he gives that story in verses 5-8 to make you desperate, to make me desperate. Because in desperation, we do those things that we wouldn't normally do in the natural. And God knows. He knows how to work this within us to get our prayers to be answered, to glorify his name, and to put the enemy to flight. This is why we can now understand what he says in the book of James, that again we know so, so well here. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. There we are. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What does it mean? Lord, in my asking of you, which you've told me to do, give me the wisdom, the understanding to ask of you. And one of the things I have learned is not to ask after my own lusts or in the flesh or in a selfish way, but that my asking is for the glory of God. And for others to be blessed also. Do you think your Heavenly Father is going to turn a deaf ear on that? Not at all. That pleases him. He's saying at last you're beginning to understand in asking, not in a selfish manner. But when you ask, make sure you do not lack that wisdom in that asking. And that's why we ask by faith, because faith will also include that wisdom in asking. In other words, you have to be real before God and ask him. And that's why he says back there in Luke 11, verse 13, to ask the Holy Spirit, who is the one who comes to lead and guide and teach us. Are you getting this now, brothers and sisters? This is why he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, in Matthew 5, verse 3. What does he mean, blessed are the poor? It means the paupers. You're poor because of your blindness, the hardness of your heart. And you are aware of that. You are aware of the obstacles. You are aware that God is still dealing with pride with me, that independent spirit. But I choose to be a pauper. I choose to become desperate if need be, to remove all of this stuff from my life so that God will be glorified in my prayers, in my asking. This is why a lot of prayers have not been answered in the past in FGA, because you're not willing to become a pauper. You're still too concerned about what people think and your reputation and how you come over. Sometimes we're going to look fools for Christ, but it doesn't matter. I spoke to a brother online the other day, and in our sharing and conversation, I was saying, talking about, you know, persecution and how persecution is getting worse now in these last days and everything. And he said to me, brother, it doesn't matter. What is our life? Our life is in heaven with Jesus. We're just passing through. He said, if I get martyred for the faith, it doesn't matter. My life is eternal with him. And I just listened to this. And I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know anything talking with these brothers. That's why so often they teach me. We've been blessed with the word of God. Yes, God has given us a knowledge, but it's not until you start living it, putting it into practice, does it make a huge difference. And this is what he's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are so, so fortunate here in the West, with our homes and our cars and our technology and our supermarkets that we go to, filled to overflowing with food. Oh, Lord, make me a pauper if that's what it needs to be. We get it so wrong. And this is why our prayers are hindered. They don't get answered. Well, let's turn back to what we're looking at in Luke 9. And let's look at this further. Right, let's look at verse 9. So he says, so I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find, knock, and it will be open to you. So what does this reveal then? It reveals we are not going to give up. Your knocking means that you are going to get it right. You have to get his attention. So you're knocking means that if there's something I'm not seeing, or my heart isn't right, I'm going to continue knocking in this, because what whatever is there, God will remove the hindrances to my faith. That is why we're teaching the deeper life, brothers and sisters. The deeper life in the spirit is in many ways a knocking to go deeper with God. This is why I've always said it's revelation. And every time we come together in our preaching, our teaching, under the anointing, this is healing deliverance for me. Every meeting we have, whether it's together online, we should walk away from that meeting knowing I have been touched, knowing I have been delivered, knowing I have met with God and I'm not the same. Else, what is the point of these meetings? We have failed to understand what our gathering together is and our fellowship. That when I leave that meeting, I have been changed by Almighty God. And it comes as a result, I keep knocking and knocking and knocking. Because he's going to open, he's going to answer. And what does it say in verse 10? For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. It doesn't mean that you will not get it if you don't ask. It means until you come to the point of asking. You won't receive from God until you ask for the right things. And those right things very often change our mind. They're giving us the mind of the Spirit. They're giving us the revelation of God who's leading us in our asking. We have got to learn to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And that is why the cross deals with the flesh. It crucifies the flesh. It gets it out of the way so that we can walk by revelation. Are you getting it now, brothers and sisters? And so to receive by faith means that you come to that childlike belief. That is spiritually, mentally. You're believing like a child who just believes, who's totally dependent on mother and father. That's the faith he wants from us. And this is what glorifies God. And this is why he sat the children down on his knee and said, look at them. These children, that is the way into the kingdom of God. Wow, only God can do that. Blessed are those who hunger, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the paupers. This is where you receive. And that's why we ask for that wisdom in James chapter 1, verse 5. And that wisdom appropriates all that we're learning. That wisdom is going to appropriate all we're hearing today in order to receive from him by faith. In other words, brothers and sisters, in that asking, you have come into direct contact with your Heavenly Father. Nothing has got in the way. You have approached him in humility, in faith, asking according to his will. That is why you come into direct contact with him. This is how Jesus walked with his Heavenly Father. He knew when he asked, he was in direct communication, contact, unbroken fellowship. And that is why he knew God would heal. God would feed the 5,000. God would raise Lazarus from the dead. He didn't doubt because he was in contact, direct contact with God. It's called being led by the Spirit. Romans 8. Unbelief is the hindrance. Feelings, emotions are the hindrance. And that's why he's removing these things. I tell you, the devil doesn't like this. Because the time God's finished with us, brothers and sisters, we're putting him to flight. We are exposing his kingdom. And the liar that he is. And what does he say in verse 10? For everyone asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. There's the promise from our Father. If verse 10 is not there, then I would say, don't bother. But because it's there, he's not a liar. He has promised, he has said, keep with it. The word here in Greek to ask means to beg. I'm a beggar. Have mercy on me. I'm in need of food. I'm in need of clothing. I'm in need of healing. I'm in need of deliverance. I'm begging you, Lord, have mercy upon me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever bowed your head in the sand, face down, begged? If you haven't, you will, if you keep with this. Until you are poor. And when you are a pauper, you know you have arrived. You're where God wants you. I go back again to Matthew 5 and verse 3. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who is in the kingdom of heaven? Those who are poor, paupers, those who have begged before God in that spirit and attitude. They're the ones who go into the kingdom of God. Wow. Have mercy on me, Lord. I haven't come yet to that place. I'm still too haughty. I'm still too proud. Have mercy on me. I keep coming. I keep listening because the word of God is going to work this within me. Because that is what is in the kingdom of God. We so often ask out of our lusts and not out of poverty, out of need. A pauper does not ask out of any reason other than the complete helplessness and painful condition he is in that poverty. He isn't ashamed to beg. Wow. We're still learning, aren't we? This is why God's brought us here today in this room. And this is the mercy of God. We didn't think we were going to hear this today, did we? But God did. And why? Because he loves you. He loves me. And his love is so great. He wants us to get this right. He wants our prayers answered for his glory. And to put the enemy to flight. Because the enemy is deceiving, blinding the eyes of most of the world. But our prayers being answered, God's glory opens the eyes of the people. That's why. And that's why you're in such a battle. That is why the enemy's there trying to destroy you, trying to take you back or getting you to compromise. Oh, I just sometimes am lost for words. How much our Heavenly Father loves us and keeps us with this and brings us this new manna, fresh manna from heaven every day that never gets stale. So the question I'm raising today, what we've been talking about, is are we learning in how we ask? That's the question. And only you can answer that before your Heavenly Father. So don't think it's strange, the things that we go through and what we're experiencing and how he deals with us. It's all because he's delivering, he's removing those obstacles, he's removing those lusts from the flesh, that pride that is within us, that willfulness that still wants to do it on our own terms. He's removing all of that. And it comes as we take up our cross daily and follow him. The cross crucifies the flesh, that the life of Christ may be manifested in each of us. What is he looking for? He's looking to see his image in us. And when he sees his image in us, he says, ask whatever you will before my Father, and I will give it to you. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for speaking life into our heart and spirit. Lord, our heart's desire is to do it your way. Continue to deliver us. Remove those hindrances, whatever it is that is hindering in us asking of you. May this word that we have heard be applied in our life for your glory, that the fruit of it may be seen, and that it will put the enemy to flight. May our lives be a witness and a testimony to all those you bring us to, our family, our friends also. And we thank you. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you, Lord, you've made it.